playing cornerback and safety, but I think the Cowboys are still going to be willing to flex.
That he really won the position, it was more so that Clinton Dix just won the point of contact. So there's still a lot of concern about the defense. Fluctuated back and forth throughout his career. Recently, since he's been in defensive coordinator position, it hasn't been the best thing, but I do love everything that I'm hearing.
You having reservations about Tristan Hill, you should not feel bad about. They're well-founded. But the fact that Hill came into camp refocused.
It reminds me of what happened with my world champion, Washington Nationals. When it comes to being a championship team, because I have a lot of experience now in 34. Excuse me, hold on, championship talking.
All right. You are now rocking with the best, and it has been a long time, and we shouldn't have left you, but we are back in full effect here on the Catch This Fade podcast. I am, of course, your host, KD Drummond, and I am here with my man, 100 Grand, the one and only voice of the star, Mr. Patrick Walker. Say hello to the people, Patrick.
Man, we are back in the building, KD. How's it going, brother?
Man, I have no complaints. It has been an absolutely chaotic 2020. We left on, you know, a little bit of a different note. The Cowboys bowed out in the playoffs, but 2020 has brought them a new head coach, a brand new roster, and brand new hopes on what they can achieve in the 2020 season. So without further ado, let's just go ahead and kick it off, and let's start talking about the differences in the Cowboys 2020 compared to 2019. First and foremost, the defense looks entirely different and how it's composed compared to what it was last year. First and foremost, again, Mike McCarthy is a new head coach. He brought in a new regime, which included Mike Nolan as a defensive coordinator, new defensive back coaches, new defensive line coaches. Everything that you can think of about this defense has pretty much changed except for DeMarcus Lawrence, Jalen Smith, and Leighton Van Der Esch, and a couple of the defensive backs, most notably Xavier Woods. But everything else has really changed. We have brand new defensive ends opposite DeMarcus Lawrence out. Is one Robert Quinn, who went to the Chicago Bears on a huge deal, 5 years, $70 million, bringing the Cowboys back a fourth-round compensatory pick. And in his place is recently signed Everson Griffin, recently reinstated Alden Smith, and then soon, later on in the year, is going to be Randy Gregory. So let's start right there. Pat, tell us about this defense and what you feel is going to be the key to their performance in 2020.
I tell you what, man, when it comes to this defense, particularly the defensive line, it is absolutely delicious. I mean, it just tastes great to look at on paper. And I just don't see, I know, you know, going into regular season, often perennially we look at it on paper, which is for the most part all we can do. But more specifically in 2020, without the benefit of a preseason, you look at it on paper and you hope that it goes one way. But, you know, it could go the opposite way, right, as well. But, you know, look at the names that you're talking about. You and I both know, although the casual Cowboys fan might dismiss it, you and I both know DeMarcus Lawrence is still one of the best in the game.
Of course.
When it comes to getting to the passer, when it comes to stopping the run. So I believe that he regains form, because keep in mind, he was playing last year coming off of a torn labrum, but he didn't really have the full training camp experience because he was unfortunately forced to weaponize his injury to get, you know, his deal.
To get his money, yep.
Right. So he wasn't completely healthy last year. So now he's coming in completely healthy. He's coming in now with a more talented defensive mind. Not a knock to Rob Marinelli as far as his defensive line talent or ability to coach the defensive line, but Jim Thompson is just a different kind of guy. He's just a different, yes, type of guy. Now you go and you get big names because of the paradigm shift under Mike McCarthy. You go and you get an All-Pro in Don Terry Poe. Now you went and you got Gerald McCoy. Unfortunately, that didn't work out, but it still goes to the point of the paradigm shift in Dallas. You go and you get a guy like Everson Griffin. You take a risk on Alden Smith, and guess what? The risk paid off so far, because not only has he been reinstated, but his contract was structured in a way to financially motivate him, but also protect the Cowboys over the course of the offseason and training camp to make sure that he showed up on time for practices, so forth and so on. And he has done just that. And has been phenomenal by all accounts in training camp. Now you go and you get Randy Gregory back. Granted, the Cowboys won't have him for the first six games, which is a topic for another day. Yeah. But the fact is, he's back. And you know, there was a great chance that he might not have been, given Roger Goodell's disposition when it comes to lack of support for mental health wellness. There we go. We were talking about this off camera or off mic, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't had a preseason.
Right.
We haven't had our acclimation period. So you got to forgive us if we're just a little bit rusty, but we're going to get this groove going. But then, you know, you mentioned all of this talent on the defensive line, and I wouldn't sleep on Antoine Woods, especially with a chip on his shoulder.
No, not at all.
He's completely healthy now. He was not healthy last year, obviously. He has the chip on his shoulder because of the signing of Don Terry Poe. You go and you get a healthy Tyrone Crawford. I know we can be split on that, but we can at least agree that Tyrone Crawford, when healthy, is a consistent producer for the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and he disrupts offensive line. So I don't hate Tyrone Crawford. I just hate his contract and always have. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. A conversation that we've had. You go and you get a talented guy, which to me, between Neville Gallimore and Bradley and I, pick which one is you know, arguably the steal of the draft. You add those kinds of guys. You got another year of progression under Durant Armstrong. I love what the Cowboys are doing up front. I love the fact that Mike Nolan's going to come in with this hybrid defense. You know, sometimes they're going to have their hand in the dirt. Sometimes they're going to be standing up. You move Leighton Van Der Esch over to the weak side. That allows him you move Leighton Van Der Esch over to the mic. You move Jalen Smith over to the weak side. That allows Jalen Smith to do more roam reacting, helping blitz packages and things of that nature. This is just – it's looking good. The only question I have is the safety play, obviously. You know how I feel about Trevon Diggs, hashtag Hive. Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I have no concerns about Diggs. He's going to have some growing pains. That's to be expected, but I think he bursts out of the gate for the most part. My questions are, what are we doing opposite Trevon Xavier. Diggs?
Oh, okay. Opposite Trevon, yeah.
Opposite Trevon Diggs. So you have Chidobe Awuzie, and as it stands, it looks like he's going to be getting more play at cornerback than safety, but I think the Cowboys are still going to be willing to flex into safety to at least see what's going to happen there. You got Darrell Worley, which is a great flex player. He looks like he's going to get a lot of play at cornerback as well. He might get some safety reps to help out there, especially with the release of Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. But call me crazy, dude. I've said this, and I had conversations with some sources when this signing was done with Brandon Carr, that although the Cowboys are kind of going Belichickian in how they're, you know, utilizing and maneuvering through these loopholes, Brandon Carr, I think he gets activated week one, and I think he has a very good chance of beating out one of these guys for a starting spot in the safety role.
Right, right.
Now, yeah, not Xavier Woods, obviously, but I would love to see Donovan Wilson. But what if Mike McCarthy doesn't think Donovan Wilson is ready quite yet?
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because a lot of the things that we're hearing, obviously we know that they cut Clinton Dix. He kind of lost out, I guess you could say, to Darian Thompson. But Broadus was basically saying, you know, that he hadn't witnessed anything out of Darian Thompson that indicated that he really won the position. It was more so that Clinton Dix just wasn't going to cut it. So there's still a lot of concern about the defense. But I think the overarching point that you were making, you mentioned Mike Nolan. I've made no, you know, I haven't been quiet about the fact that I'm a little bit worried about Mike Nolan. He has a long, long history in the NFL as a defense coordinator, but it's spotty. He has a lot of top 10 defenses. He has a lot of bottom 10 defenses. And it's kind of fluctuated back and forth throughout his career. Recently, since he's been in defensive coordinator position, it hasn't been the best thing. But I do love everything that I'm hearing. You mentioned about the multiple fronts and not knowing whether or not they're going to have a 30 front or a 40 front. I think that is going to be great. We didn't mention Tristan Hill and his ascension, which I think is going to be key. Because if we remember, Tristan Hill has played in a 30 front when he was in college. And I think the idea of having Don Terry, Poe, Tristan Hill, and then some of the other players in that rotation of a 30 front, and then being able to do whatever you want to do with DeMarcus Lawrence, and maybe even you put Alden Smith on the other, you know, as a five tech in that 30 front, and then you have Randy Gregory, you know, later on in the season, or Bradley Anae, or any of these guys that can kind of rotate in, and Everson Griffin, obviously, as being these guys that can be on the edge, regardless of whether their hand is in the dirt or standing up. But it reminds me of what happened with my world champion Washington Nationals. When it comes to being a championship team, because I have a lot of experience now in rooting for I have a lot of experience rooting for championship teams, and the way that they built that roster came from the pitching staff. You know, they had the glory of Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, and Patrick Corbin that just basically rattled everybody that they faced. And I think that's what the Cowboys are starting to build with this defense, and that is going to be the impetus for them to be able to be a championship team this year. We all know what the offense can do. They can get hot. They can put up 40-burger. I said they're going to put up a 50-burger here or there this season when they face a really bad defense. They're going to be capable of scoring at will, but the defense is going to have to be the foundation of what takes this team forward. And it's all complementary. You don't have one without the other, where the offense lives in a vacuum and then the defense just gets out on the field. They complement each other. So if the defense can get those takeaways, if they can get that consistent pressure on the quarterback, force him into bad decisions, give these linebackers and these cornerbacks and safeties a chance to get turnovers, then you could actually see me go back-to-back baseball to football in championships. I know you wouldn't experience that as a Braves fan. I know you don't know what that's like as a Braves fan to be that sort of champion. I'm sure you did when you were like in middle school or something. They won a championship. So you couldn't go to the parade and all that kind of stuff.
This is what we're doing.
I will say this.
I'm not going to undermine any of your points because there are obviously valid points. What I will do is come in and get my best Freddie Freeman on and just grand slam this thing. You know, two games in a row. And then, as a Braves fan, you know, having won the division twice in a row and now going on to a third, I can respect that. Although, you know, as a Nationals fan, you know what it feels like to be a part of and see how a championship team is structured, much like the Braves back in yesteryear. It's been a while. But as far as winning right now, I'm going to give the folks an opinion from a Braves standpoint, which is, you know, leader of a division, and not from a national standpoint, which, you know, is last place. So I think we deserve that much. So from a Braves fan standpoint, someone who has been accustomed to winning quite a bit in these past couple of years and third year in a row NL East-wise, I love what the Cowboys are doing, and particularly when it comes to Tristan Hill. Love that you brought him back into the conversation. But here's what I want to say about Tristan Hill for those that have reservations about him. Number one, you having reservations about Tristan Hill, you should not feel bad about. They're well-founded if you're basing it off of what he did and more often what he did not do in his rookie year. So that's fair. But seeing Tristan Hill in camp practice, talking to people about Tristan Hill, these comments you're hearing hammered home from Stephen Jones, these aren't comments from a team executive who's desperately trying to save face when it comes to a particular draft pick. Why? Because he doesn't have to try to save face.
Ultimate
because of the
security.
Individuals we talked about who now exist on this line. Okay, he could just as easily, Stephen Jones, Jerry Jones, Will McClay, they could just as easily try to package Tristan Hill and you know, get something for him because they know that their defensive front is simply just that loaded. But the fact that Hill came into camp refocused and under Jim Tomsula now, and yes, Tomsula has been spotty, but as you stated, he's had some really strong flashes with some of his defensive units, and this could arguably be one of those situations. But nonetheless, Tom Sula, his coaching demeanor has really married well with Tristan Hill. You have heard zero complaints, grievances, or issues when it comes to what was one of Hill's biggest red flags, which was attitude.
Right.
Right? Lack of focus, lack of drive. You're hearing the exact opposite, the antithesis of that in 2020. So I believe that the fact Tristan Hill can come in and beat out a proven, consistent producer like Tyrone Crawford for 3-tech and the 40 front, that is a huge nod to the kid. And that's why on Twitter I use the term fast rising. Now, obviously, what goes up can come down. So I didn't say Tristan Hill is going to go out and be a Pro Bowler or be an All-Pro guy, but the fact that he is fast rising after a disappointing year, the fact that he is beating out a team captain in Tyrone Crawford for the starting role at 3-tech, that cannot be dismissed. So if Tristan Hill continues on this upward swing, that's simply another hammer in Tom Sula's and Nolan's you know, weaponry. And I think that, again, this defense, if they can match serve, because you made a key point, basement-dwelling Nationals fan, in that the offense and the defense, they have to work in simpatico. All right. And to an equal but a little bit lesser degree special teams. If the offense is racking up points, the scoreboard now becomes the 12th defender.
There you go.
So now the defense can play more freely because they know the opposing offense, especially if it's a, you know, two-score game, three-score game. Now they're one-dimensional. Now you get to tee off on these guys. And if you want takeaways from the Cowboys, particularly in the secondary, which is something the Cowboys have been dying of thirst to get in the past several years, this is how you do it.
The last decade.
This is how you do it. You do it by forcing teams to play not only against your defense, but against the scoreboard. And then you bring in talent like Trevon Diggs, who plays the ball like a wide receiver and not necessarily strictly like a defensive back. You got guys who want to ball hawk like Jordan Lewis. Obviously, we know what Jordan Lewis can do. I know Anthony Brown. No knock to Anthony Brown. He is an extremely solid starting caliber nickel corner in the NFL. I stand by that. But I also stand by the belief that Jordan Lewis is simply better.
Well, I think that's a pretty good point. But what we've seen so far in the practices has been that they've been lining up Trevon Diggs, and obviously Trevon Diggs had to wait for injury to Chidobe Awuzie to take over the number one cornerback role on one side. I don't think he's going to relinquish that. I don't think that Awuzie gets that job back because they were talking about him running at safety all the way back at draft time. But they've been playing Brown at boundary corner, and Lewis was the slot while Trevon Diggs was manning the position or learning the position at the pro level. So I don't think that we're going to see, honestly, I don't see how Awuzie is in this rotation if Jordan Lewis isn't currently nursing an injury. I think he's like the fourth corner in the equation, and he was starting last year. So that goes to show you one thing. But you mentioned earlier, I hope I didn't misspeak when I was talking about which part of the coaching staff I doubted. I have no issues with Jim Tomsula. I love that hire. Cool. Just wanted to make sure. Yeah, Nolan is the one that I have the biggest problem with. Jim Tomsula can run my defensive line any day of the week. I was enamored. I covered the Washington team last year for a couple months. I mean, a man got to get a paycheck. You got to do what you got to do. But
not all of us, you know, sell our souls for money. But continue.
I mean, you're a Braves fan. So, I mean, really, what do you know about anything?
But I'm not getting paid for it.
Trust me, nobody should be getting paid for anything related to that team that can only win the division. They can't win the real thing. But what I'm going to say is that Tomsula's command of the defensive line and what he did with basically a bunch of there were high draft picks in Washington, but one of the best Washington players that we saw was Ioannidis. He was really one of the best defensive linemen that they had, and I can't wait to see what he can do with this plethora of talent. The Cowboys have a lot of Pro Bowl talent on their defensive line between Poe, Lawrence, Everson Griffin, Alden Smith. Those guys have all made Pro Bowls. Alden Smith was on his way to a Hall of Fame career before it got derailed with all of his off-the-field stuff. DeMarcus Lawrence is a Pro Bowl caliber player. Griffin is Pro Bowl caliber. Poe can be a Pro Bowl caliber nose tackle. So seeing what he can do with that mixture, I think is going to be the fuel to the fire of what the Cowboys can do on defense. Now, we have been gone for a while here on the Catch This Fade podcast. Again, I am your host, KD Drummond. You can find me on Twitter at KD Drummond NFL. And that is my man, Patrick Walker. You can find him on Twitter at Voice of the Star. We've had to do some rearranging, and we are going to be changing the format of what we're doing with the Catch This Fade podcast. It is all going to be for the better, but I just want to let everybody know that we are going to be doing some changes. This episode right now is going to be available to everybody. We will be moving to a platform where we have a subscription service in the future because we feel that that is our best chance to bring you the content that you've been craving for. Everybody's been on Twitter asking us when we were going to bring the podcast back, and in order to make it something that we can do on a regular basis and bring you the type of coverage that you crave about the Dallas Cowboys, we've decided that we're going to be moving to a subscription level platform. It is not going to be very expensive. It's going to be something like basically buying a cup of coffee a month is pretty much all that you're going to be doing to help support
us. Coffee is trash. You should just use your money on this.
Hey, look, you ain't got no arguments from me, brother. I'm not a coffee drinker myself, but some people out there are like it, and we don't like to discriminate, so we want everybody to feel like they can be a part of it.
Coffee drinkers.
Yeah, I discriminate against coffee drinkers. to. But for right now, we're just going to pretend. Let the analogy keep rolling. So what we're going to be doing is moving to a platform where we come to you not once, but twice a week. And we're going to be coming to you with hour-long shows moving forward after this one, an hour-long show on Tuesday and an hour-long show on Friday. And for the low cost of $3, we are going to be bringing that content to you on a regular basis. Now, we aren't going to leave people out in the wilderness if you don't feel like supporting that way. Every Friday, we're going to have the first 20 minutes of our Friday show available for free for everybody to listen. There's no way that you're going to listen to this 20-minute snippet and then not say that you want to hear the rest of the show and you want to hear the other show, which is basically going to be our game review and all of that kind of stuff earlier in the week. So we think that that's a good marriage for the longtime listeners, for those that support us on Twitter, to be able to do this on a regular basis and have us be a firm part of your rotation. So on Twitter, we will be sharing the information as the week goes on about how you can subscribe and get ready for Friday's podcast. But it is our esteemed pleasure to be rejoining you here on these airways as Catch This Fade takes off, not just for the 2020 season, but far into the future. We want to be your home for all Cowboys discussion as we have been on Twitter. It's just moving this to a different platform and evolving as the marketplace evolves. So,
and I'll add to this really quickly before we get into the expectations. I'll say this. Everything KD just said, absolutely accurate. And for those who are really entrenched in Cowboys culture, at the end of the day, you know what fantastic Cowboys coverage is versus what average Cowboys coverage is. And anyone that follows Katie and myself knows that we put our all into this, and we're not just doing it because it's a hobby. We're not just, you know, giving you content simply because someone said we had to put out an article that day. This is what we do. This is between Katie and myself, this is Saks Fifth Avenue.
Yes, sir.
We're not giving you Walmart content. If you enjoy shopping at Walmart, that's well and good. I go to Walmart sometimes myself, but I don't go to Walmart expecting to see something I'd see in Saks Fifth Avenue. And that's what Katie and myself are bringing you with Catch This Fade. Like you said, it's only, you know, $2 or $3, not that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things. But what you're going to get is not only entertaining Cowboys news, but high quality Cowboys news and also inside information. Also inside information that you will not get elsewhere. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people covering this team. We got a lot of love for everyone who covers this team. But if you want the most accurate and most up-to-date information on the Cowboys, you're listening to two of the best, and I'm simply not afraid to say that. We work hard at what we do, and we know our value, and we know you guys' value, and your time is valued, and you should not continue wasting time and subscription dollars on content that simply doesn't feed your soul like Katie and myself are going to do with the Catch This Fade content. So jump on board because we're ready to set sail.
Yes, sir. That's what it is. So we're going to bring to a conclusion this very limited version of what you're going to get on this season. As Pat said, we're going to be giving you a lot of exclusive content. We're going to have a bunch of interviews. We're going to have basically all of the insight that you're looking for to go above and beyond just reading an article. And that is really what our mission is to bring to you guys in the 2020 season. And basically, we both foresee a lot of positive things out of this season. On Friday's episode, we're going to really dive into how we forecast this season playing out. So make sure that you're tuning in for that. All of the predictions about individual players, about the team, the playoffs, and what could possibly be a magical season. And you don't want to be anywhere but with us for that journey. So with
that, you don't want to miss that one because we got some predictions.
It's going to be crazy. And it's almost going to be as crazy as the Nationals winning the World Series.
So that would be insane because it's not happening.
No, we already won one.
We would have run through you guys if we would have got to you. But it's cool.
I know, but then Freddie Freeman's glove was like, I don't really want to be in the next round. That's what happened. His glove said that, so he could trade.
I can't hear you over Freddie's grand slams.
Yeah, that's regular season. Nobody cares about a regular season. All right, that's it, folks. We're going to sign off for the day.
You don't care about it when you're losing.
Catch This Fade coming to you twice a week. Make sure you look out for all the subscription information. We appreciate you guys so much. Thank you for sticking with us through this last year of being on and off the air, but we are here to return for the remainder of... We're going to be here for the rest of your lives, so just tune in, subscribe, and you know what to do. That's it.
Back, like spinal cords and back seats, baby.
All the way back. We're out of here. Peace out, people.